Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Three Under Par podcast. This is a golf podcast where...
What a white ball is life.
I'm your host, Scotty T, and I'm joined by my co-host, T-Bone. T-Bone, how are you doing, my friend?
Doing good. Happy Monday. Happy U.S. Open. Doing well. Not as good as you, though. For all the YouTube listeners, Scotty T's got quite the background right now. And it's not fake. That's real. So
that's right. Everybody look at me now. This is real. I'm in the mountains, Colorado. It is pretty awesome. Yeah, not Photoshop. Can confirm this is real. That is mountain right there. So, but it's fun, man. I was out hitting the range today. You know, I mean, we've been fortunate to play in the mountains. Anybody who can play up in high altitude, the ball just travels. It travels for days, it seems like, and it's so much fun. And that driver just keeps on going. You're just like, man, you know, I feel pretty good about myself right now.
Yeah, not too bad at all. Looks like we might have had a guest listener on the other balcony for a second there, but
oh yeah,
no, we're good. Hey, look, no,
we're coming to you live. This is what people want.
Yeah, no, mountain golf is different. Ball just absolutely flies. Hard to get the distances dialed in, but yeah, that looked like quite the range setup for sure.
Absolutely. But that's why you got to go follow us on social media. I posted a photo of the driving range at 3UnderParPod. That is the number 3UnderParPod, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, subscribe, rate, review. Give us the 5 stars. Smash that subscribe button on YouTube as well. T-Bone, our episode, 3UnderParPod, is brought to you by Drinkin' Buddy. We're buds with Drinkin' Buddy, pun intended, but it's pills that make you feel a little bit better. I think this might be our tagline with Drinkin' Buddy. You take it with your last drink of the night. It's going to help you make that early morning tea time the next morning, make you feel a little bit better, maybe not as sluggish, to get you to that tea time the next morning. So go to drinkinbuddy.com, use promo code 3UNDER. T-Bone, what you got on Drinkin' Buddy?
I mean, it was, this partnership was made for us. It helps you feel better, gets you to that first, gets you to that tea time. And I love the Scotty T mantra of I don't miss a tea time. And I don't know if I'm as on board of that with that, but I want to try and be, but I definitely am now with Drinking Buddies. So two peas in a pod with this partnership, but yeah, we're rolling.
Exactly. So again, go to drinkingbuddy.com, promo code 3UNDER. Also, our other special sponsor, unofficial sponsor, Heineken Beer. Shout out to Heineken Beer with the 3UNDER bottle. T-Bone, you got to post that on the gram. I think you did on the story, but you know, we got to make it official. Welcome to the crew, Heineken, and 3UNDER Par Pod.
Love it.
I'm not letting that one go.
I'll get that on the gram for sure. But yeah, drinking beers, Drinking Buddy, all that stuff. I think it's, you know, at this point, I think we got to go ahead and give a cheers to Mr. Wyndham Clark, 2023 U.S. Open champion, Wyndham Clark. Who would have thought?
Congratulations, Wyndham Clark. Seriously, though, I mean, you look at that leaderboard. It was absolutely stacked. Ricky Fowler, T-Bone, that was your pick, man. Like, you were looking so good. My pick, Xander Schauffele, Rory McIlroy, Scottie Scheffler. I mean, these are some dogs out there. And Wyndham Clark walks away with the championship. We're here to break it all down, give us our thoughts from the golf course itself, as well as Wyndham, and really, I think, just the State of the Union of golf. Well, maybe not the State of the Union, because we don't want to talk about Piffin and whatnot. That's just, we've talked about that before. We'll continue to talk in the future. That is not this week. U.S. Open is this week. Wyndham Clark, the 2023 champion. Hey, T-Bone, I kind of have a hot take here, but overall, I loved it. It was fun to watch. It wasn't the best week. It wasn't the best U.S. Open. Not the best winner, right? We just went through all those people who are some dogs in the mix, but Wyndham Clark, he's put himself out there. We've known about Wyndham for a while because one of our fraternity brothers went to high school with Wyndham. He's been on our radar for a while. Anybody who's Big 12 player of the year, Pac-12 player of the year, the guy's a stud. So it's not surprising that he wins, but it was still shocking that he beat those guys. But those are my initial thoughts, T-Bone. I'll turn it over to you.
Yeah, I mean, Wyndham is a stud and looks like he's grown up quick. If you look at one of the stats that they've been throwing out is his career earnings versus his earnings in the last 2 months. And I think they're about the same, if not even more, in the last 2 months. So he's got the game. He's was 32nd in ranked in the world coming into the tournament with his with the Quail Hollow win a few months ago. And I think he's this was a big boy moment for him. Grew up a lot. And I think he's going to find himself on the Ryder Cup team. But all things aside, I was really disappointed in watching golf on Sunday. I thought,
Wow.
I'm
Okay.
3 hours in to the tournament, back nine, and I'm just kind of thinking to myself, what has happened? Rory fell off. Then you have Scotty kind of in the mix. And then you have Rory who can't buy a putt, and Wyndham who gets up and down every other hole or has a tap. I was just like, nothing's happening and no one's really making a run. And it feels like it's been like this for 3 or 4 hours now. So
Yeah.
I was pretty disappointed. And then, selfishly, the Rory fan club over here and even Ricky fan club big time. If it
Yeah.
wasn't going to be one of them two, I was going to be upset. And I was upset, but I wish there could have at least been more of a push or someone who made a run, even if it was Wyndham or Rory. It just kind of felt like, a couple even par rounds on to the next one. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'll
that's
say
really
this.
interesting you say that. It's really interesting you say that because the guys who did make a run were too far behind. Like on Sunday, you had Tommy Fleetwood out there shooting 63 again, but that put him, what, five under or six under, whatever it was that he finished. Like he wasn't in the mix at that point. There wasn't anybody who went out and posted a score above what the leaders are at and said, come get me. That's, and then as the day goes on, there's just that much pressure to shoot one or two under even. So there's, yeah, it felt like a two-man or three-man race for a while. But Ricky was really disappointed on Sunday. It just was. Overall, it's not a disappointing week though. We finished top five in a major. He didn't even play in the thing last year. Let's keep. He was first alternate. That's crazy to think about. So it's a great week, but it's a little disappointing on Sunday because he was right there, ready. It was his. It was just for the taking, really, at the end of the day. Rory, man, that hurts.
Well,
That's 2 years
with
in a row at the British.
Ricky,
Yeah, do you
let's
want to go back to Ricky?
So with Ricky, I
Okay.
thought that was crazy seeing that footage on the range of him last year, just waiting to see if he was going to get the call up or not. But
First alternate, man.
I was sky high on Ricky. I was like, the fact that he hasn't lost it going into the final round, this could be it. But kind of pulled back the curtain. I think he led the field in bogeys and birdies. And it was kind of like, shit, that's not necessarily what you want when you've got probably the hardest conditions, the most pressure, and all that, and not having won a major and all the pressure he's got. And I think you're totally right. If you told him top five finish at the end of the week, he would have been thrilled. But given where he was, he would have loved to see him pull it out. But I'm happy for him. I think he's trending in the right direction. He's got that 30, top 30 or 35 ranking. So he's going to be in all the events if he keeps this up. I think he'll get a win from him soon. But yeah, I think that's all I got on Ricky. And then 62 in a major. I mean, that's
Yeah.
pretty wild. But
Well, I think that would naturally transition us to the golf course. I don't know if I want to talk that yet. I want to talk to some Rory McIlroy first. Because yeah, to your point, back-to-back 62s, are you kidding me? Like what are we doing here at LADC? Like at the US Open? No, I had a problem with that. I really did. Anyway, we'll get to that in a point in a sec. But Rory McIlroy, oh man, I mean just what a gut punch. I it's a gut punch, right? Like that's back I'm thinking about it. It's back-to-back years. at the British Open last year at St. Andrews, and now the US Open again this year. All the talk about, will Rory win one? It's been 9 years since his last major. What was it, 2014 PGA he won last? So
Yeah.
we're coming up on a decade of him not winning a major. And it's just the chatter. And he's right there, man. He's right there. Oh, I just look, I don't think he lost it though. That's the difference. At the British Open, I felt like he lost it. Like Wyndham and Ricky were, or Wyndham was ahead of him the whole time. Rory just could never catch him for whatever
Yeah.
reasons. Wyndham going up and down from everywhere. Rory missing a few putts here or there. But the same thing could be said about Scheffler, dude. Like, how many putts did he miss? Like, I don't
Yeah.
know. I was just, man, it was his. It wasn't his for the taking, but it was very much his to win if he would have gone out and got it, but he didn't. He just
Yeah.
did what he had to do, and that ended up with second place. But it's still a
One
gut punch.
thing I thought about, and when it originally happened, I thought about it too, and I was thinking, I really hope this doesn't come back to bite him in the ass. And I don't think it's anyone's really realized, but Thursday round opens with 30 on the front nine, has an okay back nine, but he's definitely stringing together an amazing round. He gets to 18, hits it pin high in the rough, and totally whiffs, goes under it, under the ball. Having that stroke back now, man, that one hurt when I started thinking about that, because
Oh,
I was
wow.
kind of thinking about it at the time, but man, he would have really liked to have that stroke. Not necessarily that, I mean,
No
it could have
shit.
come from a lot of different areas, but that one, I remember that happening, and I was like, this is such a good opening round, and I hope this doesn't fuck him over.
Yeah.
But you know, I think you're right. Rory didn't.
You didn't
He
lose it, you
birdied
know what I'm
one.
saying?
He birdied one. He didn't make another birdie for the rest of the day, but it felt like there were a couple putts he could have made. But for the most part, he just wasn't that close. He was, you know, had 30 plus feet, but a few turning points or opportunities he had was, I think it was hole four or five or something. Him and Scotty were like in the exact same place. He's getting the read from Scotty. Scotty burns a lip. Rory blasts it 3 feet by. Hole eight was the par five. He was basically on the green in two and just fucking doesn't even touch the hole on a second putt. And then lastly, 14, the par five. And I kind of look at this as the difference between Wyndham and Rory in this round. You know, Rory was a lot more steady, only making pars. Wyndham, you know, had a birdie here, par there, bogey there, but was getting up and down like crazy. But Wyndham, I think his defining moment was he's got what, 280, 270 in on that par five and just threads the needle, hits a 3 wood onto the green. He's got an easy 2 putt birdie. Rory hits it in the bunker from 120 yards
Or
as the
laid up.
plug stitch lays up, which I think was probably the right call. It hits it in the
I agree.
bunker, almost loses the ball, which was crazy, and then gets, I would say, a pretty good break getting that drop and can't get it up and down. And I was just like, that's two shots right there. And I think Wyndham, I mean, that was the shot of the day for him. And Rory made bogey on a par five on the back nine of a major. It's, I kind of look at that as more of a missed opportunity than that whiff, just because it was later in the round. But yeah, I mean, I don't think he blew it. I just, maybe a few here and there, but he just had really long putts the whole day. You kind of wish one of those would have dropped on the front nine. He had like a 40 footer that lifted out. And I was just like,
Yeah.
man, you just don't fall for him on a Sunday at a major. Just felt like that. So
It kind of
I don't
reminds
know.
me of, you know how when like Kobe, MJ, when they say in their moment, when they're in the moment, we're in the zone, they say everything slows down and you let the game come to you, right? That's what they say. I feel like Rory's going with that approach, but almost too much. And I feel like I got that at the British Open last year when he was in the mix. It's like he was in the middle of the green, you know, he's doing everything technically right, but there's another quote that comes to my mind. It was Phil Mickelson in 2010, right before the Pine Shot hit on 13 when he stuck it.
Yeah.
Apparently, he told Bones, he was like, if I'm going to win this, I got to hit a major. I have to hit a golf shot that's going to win, make me win this tournament. I don't know if Rory thinks that way, where it's like, you know what? If you go out and win a major championship, you got to hit shots that are worthy of winning a major championship. He's going for the middle of the green. So even think about Wyndham. All right, on 18 on Saturday, he comes off that bogey on 17 and just has that tour sauce of a club twirl on 18, ends up
Yeah.
with the birdie. Ricky three putts for a bogey. That's momentum carrying into the next day as well. Like, it's just like, I know that was on Saturday, but that's the kind of shot that gets you back into the tournament when he could have easily ended up with another bogey, and then you're two shots back and you're out.
Yeah. No,
Like,
100%.
Rory's not winning, he's not hitting golf shots to win major championships right now. He's
Yeah.
doing everything to put himself in the mix, but he's not winning any.
Yeah, and
If
going back to
that, I mean, that's just my opinion.
these were kind of different, but also very similar. British Open, Cam lit it up and stole it. He won that tournament. And this one was very winnable if he did something like that. If he stuck it, if he reached a par five and two, made an eagle, something crazy. But it just, I mean, he played good enough to win, but he didn't win it. He just kind of let it come to him. And
Yeah. I mean,
man, it was
again,
disappointing.
I think to you kind of touched on it earlier, and I want to bring it back to it. I mean, it says a lot about Wyndham Clark. You know, he said his attitude was in, he's trying to come in cocky into the tournament. Like, that's
Yeah.
what you need in order to win. You need that swagger. You need that mental edge. That's what Tiger had that made Tiger Tiger. Now, that's to the extreme, I understand. But even back in college, the thing that we heard about Wyndham was if he can figure out his mental game and his putting, that was it. He's one of the best ball strikers that we had heard of at that point. And I think this proves that. He was making putts, came in with a good mental attitude, and then he walks away with the US Open Championship. It's
Yeah.
pretty amazing.
Now it the amount of toughness and resiliency Wyndham showed was insane. On eight, the par five, hits it in the bush, whiffs, and I'm like, this is it. He's blowing up. This is a blow up hole. Like, bombs it out of the bush, and he said he didn't even know where the ball went. And the fact he was able to get that up and down to save bogey was insane. And then he hits it in the bunker on nine. And I'm like, all right, the wheels are coming off. The wheels are officially coming off. He's got 8 feet downhill sloping away from him, brings it up the hill. And A. Zinger is saying in the booth that the ball is going to stay up there. He's not going to be able to bring it down. And he hits it up on the slope and it comes down to 6, 7 feet and drains it. You get that fist pump from him. And Rory had maybe 15 feet. I think that was one of the more makeable putts he had, and it didn't even sniff the hole. So he just continued to battle back. The amount of up and downs, and some of them he almost chipped in. I mean, it just felt like there was never even that much pressure on his putter. Like, he just chipped it close every time he got in trouble. He bogeyed, 16 and 17, I think. But clutch two putt on 18. And even though I was disappointed to see him win, really wanted to see Ricky or Rory. I do love seeing the emotion out of guys and
Oh, yeah.
fist pumps throughout the whole day, sobbing. You could see how much it meant to him, and that was pretty awesome. But this might be a good transition to go to the course. But one thing that did kind of piss me off was, I'm going to be honest, I'm cheering hard for Rory, pulling hard for Rory,
That's all
and
right.
I see Wyndham on 18 just hit this banana slice, and he can't see where it goes, and you just see it on the tracer, and it's just tracking. I see this ball land in the fucking fairway. I'm like, how the fuck is this in the fairway? This is a US Open. He just hit a massive slice. This was like Phil at Wingfoot, like, just block slice. And I guess that was kind of the storyline of the course. It's got big fairways and it's the angles that are tricky and stuff. But that kind of bothered me. I was like, man, this should have been a chip out of the rough. He's got to get up and down to win the US Open. So That was one thing that I was kind of upset with. I still don't know how I feel about the course. I love having new courses in the rotation, but I think there are a lot of great things, and then there are a lot of issues as well with the course in LA in general. But I know you had some thoughts there about the course and stuff.
Yeah, no, I think that sums it up really well what you're talking about on 18. That should be on a traditional 18th finishing hole at a United States Open, a penalty shot, or at very worst, you're again you're chipping out to 80 yards and you say, all right, go up and down, go win it. I didn't feel that at any of the holes that I was watching. There were a few times here or there where, but it's like felt like you could spray it. It felt like I get the angles and stuff, but these guys are so damn good. Even if you're in a bad spot, I mean, how many times? I mean, there are a few times I saw Shoffley completely shortside himself, hit it 30 feet over him, but then make the putt for par. Like,
Yeah.
it's these guys are so
Well,
good. It doesn't matter. They're so good at
one of
bailing
the things
themselves
that was
out.
also pretty annoying was, I think it was 15, the hole that was playing like anywhere from 85 to 135.
Oh, the par
And
three.
I think Ricky was like, I'm gonna lay up if it's like in this pin place. No, you're not. They tore it up. No one had issues with that hole. And it was like, I think that was going to the the angle thing. And it was like, guys, they're pros. These are the best players in the world. They're not gonna have issues with this hole. And they
Yeah.
didn't. So
I know. I hate seeing scores that low for US Open. I just do. And that's that it kind of reminded me of Aaron Hills in a way where the scores were so low. Well, the first time the Brooks Koepka won. That the US Open kind of redeemed themselves going back to their traditional places, if you will, of Shinnecock, Oakmont, Pebble. They finally got that winning score a little bit closer to the even par. But yeah, it seems like anytime they go to a newer venue, they just don't know what to do.
yeah.
And or like it's like they're trying to find that fine line of making it impossible, but then scorable. And they always err on the side of scorable because A, it is a better product on TV, let's be real. Like if you see guys making putts for birdies and all that stuff, brings viewership, brings eyeballs, I understand that. Also, you don't want to piss off the players. If you make the course too hard, the players are gonna complain and then that's gonna be the storyline. And but
Yeah,
then
literally
again,
becomes a storyline. And the course is too hard.
yeah.
All the players are going to bitch. Everyone's going to have an opinion and it'll take
Yeah.
over. So,
But you're the USGA. That's your job. Sorry, it is. Your job is to get on the bad side of the players in this tournament, at least. I understand, like, there's more to the USGA than just hosting major champ or than hosting championships. But yeah, it's, it felt like a C plus to me. It wasn't a fail. It was a C plus. It was underwhelming. There's a lot of hype going into it. It's in the middle of Beverly Hills, Los Angeles. Honestly, I think another portion of it too, which I think this is a good transition, was the crowds. The crowds are virtually non-existent. We saw a lot of, there's a lot of chatter on social media about this, how there was like a certain amount of tickets sold for each day, but 60 to 70% of them went to the membership. So that's why you didn't hear as many fans or crowds or yells. Because there weren't as many people there in terms of general admission. Because look, you can sell all the hospitality you want, but half the people don't even go if they're in hospitality. They just like, oh, I got a ticket and can't make it for whatever reason. So it's that I called it, I heard it called the corporate or the corporate championship, the corporate open championship.
Yeah.
Kind of felt that way, at least in Los Angeles this year.
Yeah. Yeah, people were ragging about the fans too. They said the environment was terrible, which you don't want for US Open, but I do like newer courses, and I think people are always going to kind of rag on newer courses, newer venues, but I think you need the fans there. I was also kind of thinking about this. This is a course we've never really gotten to see, very private. And this is kind of the first time they've opened it up. And it sounds like there's kind of been a rivalry with Riviera. Same designer, they're close by. LACC really wanted to step it up and get a major and kind of stick it to Riviera. But I think having watched a lot of tournaments at Riviera, I think that course is so much better. The 18th
Agreed.
finishing hole, I think it's got just such a cool dynamic to it. And I don't know how I feel about this one. I think it was very mixed, but I think it was my biggest thing was the finishing hole. I just felt like there wasn't a lot of drama in there, and there probably should have been, but
Yeah, bring that fairway in 20 yards, man. 10 on each
yeah.
side.
And I think
They
they cut
probably should have
it.
done it for half the fairways.
I think they cut it. I think it was a lot smaller at one point, but the USGA or something, someone made them
I
cut it.
mean,
Not sure how that worked,
what did they
but
say? Look, if you're trying to go for the open and angles portion of it, that sounds a lot like Augusta National, right? But there's a reason why the winning score at Augusta National is like 12, 13, 14 under.
yeah.
Not a US Open, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But overall, I think Ricky, great tournament. Rory, unfortunately, a second place finish is really good for anyone else, but not for
Yeah.
Rory. And he's got to win. And then I think life changing for Wyndham. But there were also, I think, a ton of disappointments and people who didn't play well or finish like they wanted to. Who was your biggest disappointment of the week?
Ooh.
Put you on the spot.
Max Homa. Max Homa missing the cut. That was my biggest disappointment. It just was. Look, he holds the course record. I heard actually Stuart Hagestad holds the
Yeah,
unofficial
unofficially.
course record.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Max Homa, local kid, you know, a lot of hype. I think I said it last episode, but kind of an underwhelming season overall for Homa. And I felt like this really encapsulates his season so far. Had some good moments, felt like he was going to make a run, and then just, I don't know. It just,
Yeah.
it was probably my biggest disappointment of the week. How about you?
I was teeing you up to say Homa. I was going to be
Yeah.
surprised if you did it. The other one you got to throw in there is Mr. Justin Thomas firing an 81.
Yeah. I totally agree.
I saw one of the most savage tweets I saw was someone was like, it was like a handshake emoji, and it was like game respect game. Kobe and JT dropping 81 in LA.
With JT wearing the
Yeah,
Lower
the
Merion
Lower Merion jersey. Yeah, that was good. But no, I think those two were really disappointing. But a guy
Agreed.
that also just disappeared, Xander. I mean, 62, and then you just hang it out for the week. That was kind of tough. He always plays well in US Opens, and he's definitely getting into the conversation of no majors, but he's got the gold medal. I'll give him that. But man, he just went away, leaving two in the bunker first hole on Saturday. So he's got some things to figure out for sure.
I think he really bounced back though after Saturday. You know, he started off rough, as you mentioned, on Saturday.
True.
Weathered the
That's
storm a
fair.
bit. You know, felt like he was battling back. But then at the end of his round on Saturday, really losing steam. And then that losing steam felt like it carried on into Sunday, unfortunately. But yeah, I don't really know what to make of it yet. Look, he's not even 30 years old, too, if I'm not mistaken. Or he might be 30 now. Hold on, let me go to the Google machine. See what
Yeah, I think
it
he's around
says.
30. I think he's
Okay,
in
he's
that.
29 years old. Yeah, look, I think we need to pump the brakes on takes like that, Debo. Just saying. Look, he's not a Lee Westwood or Ian Poulter or anything like that, but
Yeah.
or even Ricky for that matter. You know, Ricky's a bit older. I feel like he just, I mean, seeing how many starts he has without winning a major without Lee Westwood. I
Yeah.
think Lee Westwood is the joke in that conversation,
Yeah.
unfortunately, but. Look, I think Xander will get his. It was just, yeah, to your point, a little disappointing right there. 62, LA kid, or, you know, Cali kid, but
Yeah.
I think it'll be fine.
Yeah. So another big storyline this week. What do we do with Scotty?
Oh, man, I don't know. Look, the guy plays like absolute crap and finishes third in the US Open. Sorry, I
He's
don't think he
insane.
played very well. I really don't. He hits. Sorry, he hits the ball good. He's straight, like his iron game is so good. His iron game is unbelievable. But I felt like he played average and he finished third. It's crazy. What do you think?
Yeah, and I don't even think he necessarily saw some of the stats. He didn't even putt that bad. He's putted better, what at least, but yeah, man, it's crazy. He's so good and he's playing like crap and just top five after top five. But for this tournament, I felt like he was going to somehow pull it out yesterday and just end up winning it. If he played good, I'm sure he would have. But it just kind of felt like he was like the drunk guy at the party that just wouldn't go home. You just kept thinking he was going to go to sleep or go home, and he just stayed around the whole time. But no one was really, I guess, taking him that seriously. But yeah, ends up finishing third or fourth. But I mean, the guy's in it every big tournament, and he's having these putting issues and everything. But yeah, I mean, the hole out on Saturday, I was like, all right, this is big.
That was
This could be
awesome.
some momentum. But yeah, I don't know, man. He's just so good, and he just can't. It's kind of what I was talking about earlier. He was hitting it too good and putting too bad, and now it's maybe leveling out a little bit. But
Yeah.
no, he's insane. He's insane.
I mean, look, come Ryder Cup time. Let's just say I'm glad he's on my team. I'm glad he's on
Yeah.
Team USA because it's gonna be awesome. But T-Bone, I think Wyndham Clark throwing his name into the Ryder Cup conversation, it's very interesting. We got to do some Ryder Cup preview here pretty soon because it's going to be interesting how it plays out. Does Brooks Koepka, where does he fall into the mix now, especially with both of the tours combining again? Man, I can't wait for the Ryder Cup. I already got my sights set on it. Sorry, British Open. I'm like, I'm already looking towards the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, I'm not quite there. I'm honestly ready for. I was looking up when the British Open is, just because I'm ready for Rory to have another shot at it. Because
Yeah.
I cannot go into next year's majors and being like, 10 years, been a full decade. He's got
That
it,
just hurts. He won the players though, so if we want to count that
yeah,
as a major, then
and he wins the
it's fine.
FedEx Cup like every year, but. What sucks is it feels like the Masters pressure is insanely high, and now it's just transferring over to other majors. It
Agreed.
was green jacket, now it's like, oh, that decade's coming up, and it's like, shit, man. He just, man, it just feels like unadded pressure. But I think one of the also surprising quotes from Rory post round was, I would go through 100 of these Sundays to win another major. So
Yeah, that was interesting.
drive is there. He wants it more than anything. I don't think he's feeling sorry for himself. And he'll get back, but damn, it's been a long time.
It is. Well, next year US Open is at Pinehurst number two. So get ready, boy. I think the Pinehurst needs a little do-over after that 2014 US Open when Martin Kaymer just absolutely destroyed it. So
Man, there was.
they're due, they're ready.
I remember watching that tournament. It was, I think it was when golf courses were really big on making this like sustainable type of golf courses where less water. So they're like, we're just going to do like sand and like brush.
Yeah.
And then
Yeah, they took out a
you
ton of
just,
trees.
everyone just hit out of it. Like it wasn't a big deal at all. And he
Yeah.
went stupid low. That is. Martin Kaymer might be the most underrated two major winner of all time.
A players winner. Yeah.
He's
Because
insane.
he was on such a hot streak, then disappeared, and then went on a hot streak again, and now he's disappeared again. It's,
Yeah.
yeah,
I think he's
interesting.
on the cliques now.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. We got 5 minutes left. T-Bone, is there anything else you want to add here before we wrap it up?
No,
By the way,
that's
West
it.
Coast golf. I think West Coast golf was great.
Oh, yeah.
Except the tournament tour was a little bit boring. Saturday they finished way too late, I thought. It was way too late
Yeah.
on Saturday. Sunday was a little bit better. It was nice in the evening, but I was just like 4 o'clock and I'm like, are they teed off yet? Or I
Yeah.
don't know.
No, I agree. Saturday was a little late. It was like 6:30 Eastern time or some 6:40. I think it was 6:50 actually.
Oh, wow.
That was too late, but it's fun. Wish yesterday was a little bit better, but man, I'm already counting down that I'm gonna go full Rory fanboy. I counted down. I was looking at the calendar for when the British Open is, so I can cheer him on to win a major. It's
Wow.
in 1 month exactly. It's killing me, man. But maybe I'll do some kind of strike or something. If I'll go, not a hunger strike, but something equivalent of if Rory until Rory wins a major. So, no,
Sorry,
that's all I got. Hell of a week.
there's the kiddo. Yeah.
Scotty T's got a lot of vacation and family obligations at this point. So, I think you take us home and we let you get back to your rough day in Vail Mountain Resort.
What can I say, man? Hey, we appreciate everybody tuning into this episode. Let us know what your thoughts were of the US Open. There were a few listener questions that I had, T-Bone, that unfortunately we did not get to. So I am so sorry. One of them actually being is one of the biggest winner, the putters that Wyndham Clark and Ricky Fowler were
Oh,
using. I'm just, I totally agree. That was from our boy Garza. So shout out to you, Garza.
I'm so curious about that putter.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Big winner. So we're going to do some more digging on that, but well, next week I think we'll do a big listener segment because I don't even know where the plan is. But week after major always tends to be a little bit slower. But again, let us know in the comments, shoot us an email, shoot us DMs. Let us know what your thoughts were on the tournament and Wyndham Clark coming away with the victory. So go follow us on social media at 3 UnderParPod. That is the number 3 UnderParPod on every social media platform. Subscribe, rate, and review 5 stars. YouTube, smash that subscribe button. And at T-Bone, I think that wraps about it. Our episode is brought to you by Drinkin' Buddy. Go to drinkinbuddy.com, promo code 3UNDER, 10% off your order. We love Drinkin' Buddy. Again, it helps you feel a little bit better the morning after. Take up your last drink to make those tea times because we don't miss tea times here at 3UNDER. T-Bone, a final word to you.
Enjoy the vacation, brother. One major left. Let's get it.
Let's get it. Hey, everybody. Well, we appreciate y'all tuning in once again for T-Bone, for Scotty T, and remember,
little white balls are.